Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. I'm so glad to have you along. Dhammayanti means peace and calm. Dhammayanti sheds a light for your soul through the wisdom that shines in the universal language of Sanskrit. Dhammayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Join me now on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, and be inspired and uplifted by the beautiful light of this profound, timeless wisdom.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sarah Main. And today I'm going to be talking about how I wrote a new chapter in my story, a new chapter in my life. And it's really how I went from teacher to executive coach to Dhammayanti. And it has been a case of writing a new chapter in my life. And it's really connected to your soul path, your soul journey, your purpose, if you like. I never felt like it was a purpose. It was just the next step. I felt this expansion, this almost yearning within myself, and I just listened to it and followed it, and it's led me from one step to the next. So really, this is how I wrote a new chapter in my life, and I thought this was the best way of talking about this, is to illustrate it. So I was lucky enough, starting at the beginning, I was lucky enough to be introduced to meditation and mindfulness at a young age. My parents were interested and I got interested in what they were interested in. So that was good. And then I was doubly lucky because I just loved it. You know, look, I felt like I was just so natural. I took to it, like a duck to water. And as I grew up, my understanding and experience of the joy and depth of inner practice, of spiritual practice, strengthened. And look, don't get me wrong, I still experienced all the usual things associated with growing up, childhood, teenagers, everything, right? I get it. But I had this connection within, and it was just the saving grace, really. It really was a grace. Then I was triply lucky because when I was old enough, it was in my 20s, I was offered the opportunity to start passing on this wisdom and knowledge with which I'd been blessed. I mean, truly it was a blessing. And I was given this opportunity to pass it on to adults in evening classes and also to children as a teacher in a primary or elementary school. And it was a rather unique school, and it placed a high value on feeding the children's bodies, minds, hearts, and spirits, giving them the best, the very, very best, good quality material for learning, and also to give them that opportunity to stay connected with that power within themselves, that's their spirit. And so it was a wonderful, all fully rounded educational offering of body, mind, heart, and spirit. And don't get me wrong, the academic side was addressed fully with very high standards, lots of mentally challenging things, stimulating things, and then beautiful things for the heart and for the spirit. And one part of the teaching that I learned and taught was Sanskrit, the ancient Indian language, often called the language of the universe. The profound wisdom of Indian scriptures, the prayers, the mantras, and all written in this beautiful language, and it moved my heart and enriched my understanding of profound truth. So then after I finished high school, I studied Sanskrit, formally studied Sanskrit at university, to get an even deeper insight into this amazing language, this mysterious language of the universe. And I began to experience its unique power to take me past the level of book learning and grammar and vocabulary, which I do enjoy, to an experiential grasp of the profound inner meaning of words and how important it is to purify your understanding of meaning in language, particularly because our life, our world is built up of language, whether we're conscious of it or not. And at the same time as all of this, I had another passion of mine was music. So when I was a teacher, I was a choir mistress. So I conducted choirs of 50, 80, 100, 120 students at a time. I also played the piano and the recorder. And one day I sort of eventually found the opportunity to realize a dream I'd had since I was 10 years old, actually. I started learning the harp because my first piano teacher was actually a harpist, and I saw this harp in her lounge room when I went for my piano lessons, and I just fell in love with it and I wanted to learn. And so, you know, obviously you can tell I sort of liked trying new things. There are plenty of things I felt fearful to try, but these were the things I felt drawn to. And, you know, when the time came, it was a bit scary to start learning the harp, particularly as an adult, but I did, and it was fantastic. Can't say I have any great proficiency at it, but the experience has been great. Excuse me. So my teacher ran a harp training weekend, and I said, look, you know, I'm only really a beginner. But she said, no, come along. The workshops and things will be interesting. You know, so I thought, oh, I was slightly dubious, to be honest with you, because I wasn't that good. Anyway, my harp teacher was a professional harpist and performer. So one of the seminars at this weekend harp training workshop was on the problem of stage fright. And it was delivered by a well-known psychologist. I was amazed. I was interested because, like, I understood, I'd experienced stage fright, sure, but I'd sort of never really put my attention on it. And anyway, the people at the weekend retreat, this harp training retreat weekend, were accomplished musicians, and many of them were professional performers. And yet they talked openly about stage fright. And some even many had used beta blockers to get them through performances to overcome their nerves. And they knew many, many musicians that used medication to get through. I mean, this was widely known and commonly used. They all just sort of said, yeah, you know, yeah, it's common. Anyway, they were talking about all these different techniques to overcome stage fright, including taking meds, which they didn't like to do, but it got them through the performance. And I was amazed. I was truly, truly shocked. I'd never heard of this before. And I thought, surely there must be another way. And they did talk generally about mindfulness practices, but none of them had any real understanding or grasp of them. They were sort of talking in theoretical terms about them. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, my God, this is something I can add value in. I may not be able to play the harp very well, but this is something I do understand. Because I could see, and, you know, I thought I can definitely help here because I could see how strong and talented these musicians were, but I couldn't understand, you know, they obviously didn't have the inner resources to help themselves with real techniques from within themselves in terms of mindfulness and presence and drawing on the strength of that. They didn't have any connection within themselves that was of real use. So all they could do is resort outside of themselves, and in this case it was often to medication. Yikes. So I made this simple decision. Well, it sort of formed in my mind, really, to find a better way to offer the best of what I'd been given in regard to this. After all, I'd been at it since I was young and I'd taught it. And I knew the wisdom that I had been taught was infinite, limitless, and understood that we are universal beings. And what we needed to do was turn within ourselves and connect there, be grounded and be established within ourselves and not look outside ourselves. So that was really the starting point. And and that was one important element for me. And then also after decades of school teaching, I decided I needed a change of, you know, I'd sort of really been at it for a long time. and a lot of administrative and executive roles as well, I wanted to do something else. And I'd never heard of coaching, but I investigated it and it really interested me. So I did a training course in coaching. And that was fantastic because I learned life coaching skills and executive coaching skills, and I loved that. And it worked in with everything. It was great synergy between all the spiritual mindfulness inner work that I'd done and my teaching work. Coaching was a great bridge. So I started my own coaching practice. This was after I'd finished teaching, and I coached talented, highly intelligent men and women, some of them who literally felt like they'd had the rug pulled out from underneath them in their careers, or they had been discounted in their work, or they were just sick of it and they wanted to make a change, all sorts of things around those issues. And all the mindfulness that I had learnt really came to the fore, plus my teaching skills and my new coach training. So it all started coming together in new and exciting ways. But in relation to the stage fright, still sort of nagged at me, and I knew there must be a solution. And without really realizing it, I eventually, the path of me kind of reading about it and researching in depth, I read a lot and looked into it, including a lot of the sort of neural side of it with the brain, et cetera, fight, flight, all of that. And then I went back to the wisdom that's in Sanskrit. I turned back to the love of Sanskrit and I thought, what can Sanskrit show me? And that was where the lights really went on, because I knew Sanskrit contained real meaning and real wisdom, and it had the power to heal, to protect, and take you into depths of peace and calm that was magical and mysterious. So I set about deepening my understanding of the power of these sacred Sanskrit mantras. And this led me to, I was given the opportunity to start a podcast. I was reached out by Transformation Talk Radio and start a podcast. And I tell you, that was totally not on my radar. So talk about writing a new chapter. And I started a podcast. And from that, I was put in touch with an author. They said, you've got a book in this. So I was put in touch with a book agent, and she got me a publisher, and I wrote a book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success. And the conscious confidence was really the heart of addressing the issue of stage fright, because it was a fundamental lack of proper confidence in yourself, conscious confidence. And Sanskrit had the wisdom to show the way. So, and then from that, I felt there was more. I could broaden this out and offer more wonderful gift of freedom and protection to sort of a broader audience, and open up this world of wisdom for people who didn't have the time to read a whole book on the subject. And that's how I started Damayanti for Your Soul, a whole new project. And I knew that the power of Sanskrit was not some mystic secret that only reveals itself after years of difficult study. So we're going to take a break, and after that I'll tell you a bit more about Damayanti and how that's developing. So we'll see you soon.
Damayanti, where style and beauty meet timeless wisdom. Damayanti, wearable mantras in sacred Sanskrit. Finely crafted and etched with beautiful reminders of your inner beauty and strength. Made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti, the place to find beautiful jewelry specially made with love. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today I'm really telling my own story of how I wrote a new chapter in my life. So I realized I was the author of my story and I wrote a new chapter. So I went from teacher to executive coach and now to Damayanti. And for the break, I was talking about sort of getting back to how I knew the power of Sanskrit was not some mystical secret that only reveals itself after years of hard study, and that I could offer a bridge for people that may be turned off by Sanskrit, they've never heard of Sanskrit, they're frightened of Sanskrit, they don't want to study Sanskrit, what's that got to do with anything? There is such wisdom and power and energy in Sanskrit. It's truly transformational. And the journey I had from teacher to executive coach and now to Damayanti is really broadening out this offering of this wisdom to people. It's such a gift of freedom and protection. And you don't need to do years of hard study to have that connection. You may want to study, but, you know, this freedom and protection is ever available. This energy, this greatness within yourself is ever available, and the wisdom in Sanskrit can lead you there, can show you the way. So I started Damayanti for your soul, because that soul within us, our soul, has the divine spark. That's where our limitlessness resides, where we can connect with it. And it truly, the sort of statement that you may read on a T-shirt or a coffee mug, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, is true. And to connect with that, you connect to your soul, and that's beyond the mind. It's beyond the body, the mind, and even the heart, all the feelings. This is your soul, which is ever present, waiting. So I started Damayanti. So you can check out my website, damayanti.store. I'll spell it. It's D-A-M-A-Y-A-N-T-I, damayanti.store. So it's an evolving process. And I've met colleagues that I used to teach with, and they say, oh, what are you doing? You know, these are people I worked with for years, and they say, you know, what are you doing? They haven't seen me for a while. And when I explain, you know, well, they knew I'd sort of gone into coaching, but then when I now explain Damayanti, they just shake their head and say, wow, well, you just sort of reinvented yourself, because they only saw me as a school teacher and, you know, an administrative person who worked in school administration as well. And, you know, I was always organising things and had lists and clipboards and all of that. And meetings and whatnot, and I was teaching. So they only saw that side of me, and then they never really knew much about the coaching, because that was really after my teaching. Most of that happened after my teaching. I was executive coach. And then they didn't know anything about Damayanti, hadn't really followed it. So it's like they sort of look at me like they're looking at a different person, and it feels like that. Honestly, it is genuinely a new chapter in my life. Has new energy, new considerations, new possibilities. It's just fantastic. And it's all about just following that promptings from within, listening within, that soul connection within. And then, yeah, it takes a bit of bravery. I can tell you sometimes it's a bit scary to get out of your comfort zone and progress forward and proceed forward. But it's so wonderful and so exciting. I wouldn't have it any other way. So this wisdom that's in Sanskrit is unbelievable. It's a mystic secret, and it's gentle and it's ever-present. And it guides us. It's a guide for all of us. This wisdom is a guide to all of us living in times of trouble. You know, if it's in your life or in the larger world, It's really an ever-present help, and it is gentle, but it's clear. It's an ever-present light. It's an ever-present energy as we walk our soul path to fulfillment. And the kindness and availability of ancient wisdom is truly one of its most astonishing features. So I decided, once I sort of moved on to Damayanti, I wrote my book, Conscious Confidence, and that was based on what does Sanskrit say about real confidence, which I realised was at the heart of the problem about stage fright, overcoming stage fright, having inner resources. It came back to a real confidence in yourself, and that's not that sort of, you know, like a confident person. You know, you go to a party and the loud, confident person that's always talking and, you know, can get up on stage and talk. This is like a great tree that has deep roots into the soil, So think of those deep roots within yourself. It can sway and bend with the wind, with the breeze, with the storm, but it's never knocked over, it's never broken, doesn't snap. It can move and sway and bend and come back to upright when the storm's passed. It can offer shelter, it can offer food. That image of the great tree is very powerful. So it's that sort of confidence, sort of deeply rooted and established within yourself, that has a steadiness and a calmness about it. And that's where conscious confidence came from, and I wrote this book on it. Conscious confidence, use the wisdom of Sanskrit to find clarity and success. And then from that, Damayanti. So with these powerful Sanskrit, to open it to a sort of broader field and make this ancient wisdom available to everyone worldwide, one thing I always found I needed was reminders. I used to use yellow post-it notes and notes on my diary, you know, written paper diary and all of that. And when I was teaching, I used to write it on the blackboard, and the children enjoyed it too. Little things I was trying to remember or practice inwardly. And so then I realized the best thing was to create a range of beautiful jewelry and, you know, even some homewares and clothing that carry unique messages in Sanskrit, these Sanskrit mantras that are especially meaningful to the wearer. So, for example, I started with prema, which means love, and I got a collection of prema jewelry and prema articles. And prema means pure love or universal love. So you can wear the jewelry with the beautiful Sanskrit word prema on it and find yourself connected to a universe filled with love. It helps you keep that connection. It's a powerful, beautiful, energetic reminder. So it's a wearable mantra with this powerful sacred Sanskrit, simple connection, and anyone can wear that, and you can give it to someone you love as well. Then I was looking into other mantras, and I connected with prana. So there's a prana collection of jewelry, and prana means the breath of life or life force. So you can find yourself connected like a precious jewel strung on a thread of life, the life force, and this life force links all other living beings. And the wisdom traditions tell us this, that we are strung together. Prana links us as though jewels strung on a thread. So think of that beautiful image. Well, there's the prana collection, connects us to that life force, that breath of life. And then there's, for example, the Balam collection. And the Balam collection, Balam means strength in Sanskrit, true strength. And so there's the Balam collection of jewellery, and you can wear a necklace or a bangle inscribed with the word Balam in beautiful Sanskrit, and that connects you, gives you that connection to this limitless strength of your own being, that soul connection that is limitless. It's powerful. And that strength is never absent. It's ever present. And you can face the world with resolution and courage when you're connected to your inner strength, to Balam, true strength. So they're just three examples of the collections I've started, and there's five others. I've got eight in total at the moment, and they can speak to your soul and to the soul of those that you love. So my soul path led me to offer the best of what I was given. That's what I wanted to do, was offer the very best, because I was truly given the very, very best of wisdom. And this wisdom overcomes the limits in our lives. This wisdom allows us to meet the world with a new energy of strength and resilience. And this wisdom allows us to be connected to love and to peace and to happiness. So this is my story of being the author of my story, of writing a new chapter. And it's a step-by-step process. It's a journey, as they say. And at each point, the right person has shown up and the next action step has made itself clear. And I was taught the very best. And one of the things I was taught was this Sanskrit statement on exactly this point. It says, step by step, and at each step, stands waiting that which is needed for that step. Padam padam pratipadam arhati iti pratipadikam. Step by step, and at each step stands waiting that which is needed for that step. So I hope you'll join me and thousands of others who have found this joyful path to fulfillment. And if you want to know more about Damayanti, go to my website, damayanti.store, and check it out. And have a look at the jewelry collections especially. There's social media. I'm on social media on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And get in touch. Drop me a line. Tell me what you'd like to have me talk about. Ask me any questions. I'd love to address them for you. So really, finally, you can do this. You are the author of your own story. Take some time to be still, calm and quiet. Get out a journal or a piece of paper and journal where you are now and where you want to be. Create a vision board. Very powerful. Visualize and develop a strong and positive mindset, because you'll definitely need it. So, and a little heads up, in my next show, I'm going to be talking about that which benefits the body, refreshes the mind, nourishes the heart, and frees the soul. So remember, padam padam pratipadam arhati iti pratipadikam, step by step, and at each step stands waiting that which is needed for that step. So good luck. Go ahead, step by step, and write that new chapter in your story, in your life. You can do it. You are, the wisdom traditions tell us, our soul, our being is limitless, infinite, and all-powerful and ever-present. So you have what you need within yourself. So good luck, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for spending time with me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Damayanti, or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, damayanti.store. That's damayanti.store. Damayanti.store. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.